This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, March 16th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. In fact, even more with 16 games in the NCAA tournament yesterday. First, just a couple of brief notes, non-college basketball notes. Peyton Manning will be working out for the Denver Broncos today down at Duke, where he's been working out for the last few weeks, if not months. Obviously, this is a big deal. Denver wants to see him throw. The three remaining, the Dolphins officially out of the Peyton Manning sweepstakes, the Titans, Cardinals, and Denver seem to be the three teams that are left in it, but Peyton Manning will be throwing today for Denver Broncos officials down at Duke University. The other thing is, of course, you probably heard by now, Dwight Howard, there are a lot of NBA trades we'll talk about later, but Dwight Howard, the biggest was by nothing happening. Dwight Howard decided not to leave. He will now be with Orlando at least the rest of this season through next season. Of course, we'll probably have the same drama next year at the trade deadline, but Dwight Howard decided not to opt out of his contract. Those are the two big stories. Obviously, the first round of the NCAA, I know they're calling it the second round, makes my head explode. Four play-in games don't count to me. Yesterday, the first round of the NCAA, 16 games. We're going to focus on three. We'll talk about virtually all of them, but we're going to focus on three and the one that everybody's talking about. You know that no 16 seed has ever beat a one. And North Carolina Asheville certainly had a chance yesterday against Syracuse. UNC Asheville up four at the half, 6 minutes left in the game. The game was tied all the way down to Syracuse being up three with 30 seconds left, and Syracuse inbounded the ball, and it definitely went off of Syracuse's Brandon Trish, definitely went out of bounds. Shortly after it hit his hand, a guy on UNC Asheville hit him hard. No foul call, but maybe the official split the baby and awarded the ball to Syracuse. No foul called, but awarded the ball to Syracuse. Now, that's a very interesting call. Again, did he know the ball was out on Syracuse but didn't want to call a foul on Asheville, so he gave him the ball? There's a lot of things that went on that call, but it was a bad call. Actually, on one of the networks, I don't know which one, they had the head of officiating for the NCAA who essentially said it couldn't have been a foul. Ed Corbett, the official who made the call, maybe was blocked. He was trying to cover, but it was definitely a bad call. Asheville should have gotten the ball down three with 30 seconds left. They didn't. There was also a goaltending call when Asheville took a shot, ball hit the backboard. Syracuse goaltended the ball in the first half. That was not called. So Asheville did get some bad breaks. Give Syracuse credit. After being down, they come down. They come back late. James Sutherland off the bench was huge, 6 for 8, 3 for 5 from 3 for 15 points. He led Syracuse in scoring. I thought he was the key factor in them winning the game. They actually did go up 7 or 8, and they did win by 7, but this was a very close game, very late. And you don't know what would have happened. You can't say that Asheville would have won. But they should have at least had the ball down three with 30 seconds left, and they didn't. You might have seen that what a lot of people said was a bad call. Syracuse at the line, I think it was Scoop Jardine, he takes a shot, and then a guard from UNC Asheville comes from the top of the key, runs underneath the basket, and gets the rebound. But the college rule is different from the pro rule. In college, you have to wait. If you're behind the foul line, that means the shooter or anybody else behind the foul line, you have to wait until the ball hits the rim, and clearly the Asheville player did not wait until the ball hit the rim. So that was a good call. Now people are saying maybe the ref shouldn't have called it. I mean, it was an obvious violation. The importance there, of course, was Jardine missed the shot. It was a 1-1. He gets the shot over. He makes the first. He makes the second. Another big swing. So, yes, UNC Asheville played very well. They had their opportunities. They did get some bad breaks. This Prim was very good, 18 points for Asheville. Atkinson with 12 points. Lane, 16 points off the bench. They certainly gave Syracuse everything they can handle. They could handle. And, you know, Jim Boeheim is Jim Boeheim. He said, oh, luck has nothing to do with it. I guess somebody asked him if he was lucky. And no matter what Jim Boeheim says, Syracuse was lucky. No Thad Mello. Of course, always it seems the teams that go far have these close calls. You didn't expect it in a 1 against the 16 game. No 16 has ever beaten a 1. Everybody's saying the same thing. Oh, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Well, I'm not sure it's ever going to happen because, yes, I agree that the discrepancy has closed, but the discrepancy between a 1 and a 16 is still gigantic. But certainly UNC Asheville had a chance. You know, when they talk about, I forget what year it was, but back in the 90s, Princeton played Georgetown, and Princeton's guy, Scrabis, I remember he took a jump shot from the right side of the foul line, and he definitely got fouled late when they were down 1, no call, and Georgetown wound up beating Princeton. I thought it was going to happen that day, frankly, but again, it's 4 games every year. There really is no comparison talent-wise. Some people are even saying today maybe LIU, Brooklyn, can beat Michigan State. I don't think so. LIU's a good team. They're in the tournament 2 years in a row. But again, you're talking about playing a Tom Izzo team, experience, lockdown D. We'll see what happens. And is it possible that it could happen? Yeah, I guess it's possible. But, you know, people say the same thing every year. A 16 is going to be the 1. I just don't know when. But I'm certainly not one to say that. But Syracuse escapes 72-65 over UNC Asheville. And the joke is a lot of people said, oh, Asheville played as well as they can play. But their best player, this kid Dickey, the guard, shot 1 for 13 from the field, had 5 points, 1 for 9 from 3. By all accounts, their best player, their high scorer, played 38 minutes, did have 5 assists, but he was unable to throw the ball in the ocean. In fact, Lenny Elmore doing the game, it was interesting because he said every time the kid shot, he was short from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, so Elmore thought it was really more in his head. He certainly had good elevation on his jumper, but he just couldn't make a shot. If he played remotely well, then certainly Asheville could have won the game. Syracuse escaped 72-65. To me, they were lucky no matter what Jim Boeheim says. Certainly he's the coach, they're 32-2, he's going to the Hall of Fame someday and he's entitled to his opinion, but in my mind Syracuse was fortunate to get out of there with a win. Again, we'll mention all the games, there's 2 others I want to talk about in a little detail. A lot of people picked Wichita State to make a deep run, a lot of people thought VCU would be the 12th seed that would win the game. You know, a 12 seems to always beat a 5, I think it's 21 out of 23 years now. Maybe 10 of the last 11. VCU, a 12 seed, does beat Wichita State yesterday, 62-59. VCU up 9 at the half, increased their lead. Give Wichita State credit, they did come back. But I got to tell you, they had this 7-footer, Wichita State did, Garrett Stutz, who was viewed to be a very good player and a good big man. He could not throw the ball in the ocean, and I mean from three-point range, and I mean from 3 feet away. He was the reason, I think, that VCU could win. Now, a lot of people thought he would have trouble, but he shot 2 for 11 from the field, and believe it or not, he took 2 3-pointers. The first shot of the game, which he missed, and the last shot of the game, which he missed. So I thought the key to VCU winning was the poor play of Wichita State's 7-foot center. Having said that, give VCU credit. They're better defensively last year. They had Bradford Burgess, who's left over from that Final Four team of last year, who was very big late. He hit a big 3-point shot. He was only 6 for 16, but he had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Hit a huge 3 to put them up 3. And then Daniels also hit a couple of 3s. He only had 10 points, but he had a couple of big 3s in the second half. 10 points, 6 rebounds for Daniels. Wichita State, their big man, nowhere to be found. He did have 7 rebounds, but again, only 2 for 11 from the field, 4 points. Raglan was their main guy, 15 points, 6 for 10, Joe Raglan, 6 for 10 from the field, but it wasn't enough. VCU, now look, they got Shaka Smart, a coach who probably could have left and decided to stick around with VCU after their Final Four run. They had Burgess, a veteran of the tournament last year. By all accounts, they're better defensively. Shaka Smart said after the game, look, our team last year won 28 games. This team has already won 29 games. Our team last year got beat in the conference tournament, not this year. You'll recall Virginia Commonwealth played in the play-in game last year and went all the way to the Final Four. So I thought they were a little down being only a 12 seed, but they certainly showed their mettle yesterday as they beat Wichita State, a 5 seed, VCU 62, Wichita State 59. The other game I wanted to talk about in a little detail, and you don't know if it's the end of an era or not, but UConn, the defending champ, all the talk in New York and the Northeast was UConn was getting it together. Of course, Calhoun had some back surgery and missed 8 games. He wasn't around. Their team wasn't playing well. They had a players-only meeting, and, you know, they were 20-13. They got into the tournament as a number 9 seed. Of course, people were comparing them with last year's team where they were 9-9 in the Big East, ran the table, as you know, with in the Big East, and then ran the table in the NCAA. But, of course, that was not to be this year. Iowa State comes up hoisting up threes. Unbelievable. They were up 15 early. They were up 10 at the half. UConn made a run, but Iowa State pulls away at the end. Iowa State 77, UConn 64. I mean, it was just raining threes for Iowa State. Chris Allen led them in scoring with 20 points. He was 3 for 8 from 3. This Christofferson can really shoot the ball. He had 15. He was 3 for 3 from 3. Those two guys were the guys who made all the three-pointers, 6 for Iowa State, but 3 or 4 of them came right in the short span, which really opened up the game. Again, UConn makes a run. Napier with 22 points, 6 assists. Jeremy Lamb with 19 points, 4 rebounds. But Connecticut was unable to come all the way back. Iowa State seemed to want it, frankly, worse than UConn did. I mean, they really left it all out there. They did score. Iowa State scored their last 14 points from the free throw line, but Iowa State, after UConn gets to within 6, after being down 15-17 in the first half, Iowa State pulls away. Iowa State 77, UConn 64. A lot of questions surrounding the UConn program now. Right now, it seems that they can't play in the tournament next year because of that new academic progress ruling they had. I think UConn appealed it. I think the first appeal, at least, was rejected. I don't know if there's a second appeal or not. Hard to believe that a guy like Jim Calhoun with 3 national titles is going to walk away after this. However, he is 67. He does have health issues. If they really can't play in the tournament next year, he's really looking at 2 more years to have a chance to be in the tournament. So you have to wonder. It would certainly leave a bad taste in his mouth. I did hear him on New York radio interviewed by Mike Francesa a few days ago, where he said even if he's not the head coach with a whistle, his words, he still wanted to be involved in the program and helping the program. But those are the big news. That's the big news. We'll go over the other games after the break. But UConn defending champ knocked out in the first round. Syracuse, the number 1 seed, survives UNC, Nashville, and VCU at 12. Beats a 5 seed in Wichita State. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to run through the other games quickly, and we'll give you the second round matchups as well. In the East, Syracuse beat UNC Asheville. They'll be playing Kansas State. Kansas State beating Southern Miss 70-64. Rodney Magruder gets 30. That's an 8 over a 9. Vanderbilt beats Harvard, a 5 over a 12, 79-70. John Jenkins, 27 points, 6 rebounds for Vandy. Now, Vandy did beat Kentucky, but they did not score a basket the last 5 minutes and 22 seconds of this game. And that does not bode well for them because they're going to play number 4 Wisconsin, who buried number 13 Montana, 73-49. Of course, Wisconsin, well known for their defense. So I think Vanderbilt's going to have some problems with them. Two other games in the East yesterday. Gonzaga buries West Virginia in a 7-10 game. Number 7, Gonzaga, 77. Number 10, West Virginia, 54. It's the worst Bob Huggins loss in his NCAA career, West Virginia. Number 2, Ohio State beats number 15, Loyola, 78-59. A little close early, but Deshaun Thomas, not Sullinger, not Buford, not Kraft. Deshaun Thomas with 31, a career high for Ohio State. In the South, number 1, Kentucky, no real problem with Western Kentucky, 81-66. Anthony Davis, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 7 blocks. Their second-round matchup is going to be against Iowa State, as we said, who beat UConn rather easily, 77-64. VCU, the 12, beat Wichita State. They're going to play number 4, Indiana, 79-66. Over number 13, New Mexico, Jordan Hultz with 22 for Indiana. Cody Zeller, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 6 steals for Indiana. They advance, and they'll play a tough VCU team in the second round. Two other games in the South. Baylor had some trouble early with South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits were up 19-7, but Baylor comes back behind 18 from Perry Jackson to get the win. Number 3, Baylor, 68. Number 14, South Dakota State, 60. South Dakota State, the first team ever from South Dakota in the NCAA tournament. Baylor's going to play number 11, Colorado. Colorado beats number 6, UNLV, 68-64. Colorado was up 20. UNLV stormed down, stormed back a 26-8 run in the second half to be down 2. But Colorado holds on for the win. Colorado 68, UNLV 64. Andre Robinson 12 points, 16 rebounds for Colorado. Four games, in the West. Louisville beats Davidson 69-62. Peyton Siva 17 points for Louisville. New Mexico, Steve Alford coaching there, beats Long Beach State 75-68. A lot of people thought Long Beach State could pull the upset that VCU pulled, but they didn't. Louisville and New Mexico will play in the second round. Number 6, Murray State, I thought they were pretty low as a number 6. They bury Colorado 58-41. Murray State, a dangerous team to me. I know they had played a weak schedule, but they only lost one game all year. But they'll be tested right away as they come back to play Marquette. Marquette buried BYU 88-68. Of course, BYU won the play-in game, coming back from 25 down against Iona to win, but they couldn't come back against Marquette. Marquette 88, BYU 68. Jay Crowder, the Big East Player of the Year, with 25 points and 16 rebounds for Marquette. We're going to get to the NBA in a second. I did want to talk briefly some NFL stuff, some signings. You know, it's the third day of free agency today now. We already talked about Peyton Manning, but the big signing yesterday, Mario Williams, the monster defensive lineman slash linebacker maybe, is now a Buffalo Bill. 6 years, $100 million, $50 million of it guaranteed. Obviously, as we've talked about, that AFC East is going to be a monster division. Peyton Manning not going to Miami now. The Patriots are the Patriots. Buffalo is an improving team. This only helps them. Mario Williams, a beast, of course. The Jets, who knows? They gave Mark Sanchez an extension. But that's a very, very tough division, the AFC East. Miami, I think, with no Peyton, will fall out of it quickly. But Mario Williams is a member of the Buffalo Bills, 6 years, $100 million, 50 guaranteed. Tennessee trying to make their pitch for Peyton Manning, signed 7-time Pro Bowler Steve Hutchinson, a 3-year deal with Tennessee. Manning will like that. That has to weigh somewhat in his decision. New Orleans, after losing arguably the best offensive guard in football, Carl Nix, signed a pretty good one, Ben Grubbs, to replace him. 5 years, $36 million for Grubbs. And the Chargers, after losing Vincent Jackson, they've already signed Robert Meacham away from the Patriots. They also added wide receiver Eddie Royal yesterday. 3 years, $13.5 million. So David Rivers certainly will have enough targets to throw at for this coming season. Want to switch to the NBA now? A number of games, but frankly, there's more going on off the court than on the court in the NBA. We've already talked briefly about Dwight Howard. He did give an impassioned speech afterwards when he announced that he wasn't going to leave. He said, "I love the city, I love the people, I love the organization." They do have the fourth best record in the league. I would think that Orlando was really pitching Howard hard to stay. They did beat Chicago recently. They did beat Miami recently. So Dwight Howard will be with Orlando through next season. He'll make $19.5 million next season. He signed a waiver of his early termination option. That was the technical document to show that he was staying. But he has only committed to one more year. Now, a lot of people are saying had he opted out and signed somewhere else, he could have made a lot more money. And that's probably true. But Howard is a different kind of guy. He obviously wants to be liked. He's obviously conflicted. He certainly didn't want to be viewed to be LeBron James. Maybe he thinks Orlando can win the title. I don't think they can with what they have. You know, the biggest loser there, obviously Orlando, the biggest winner. The biggest loser, of course, the New Jersey, soon-to-be Brooklyn Nets, who were hoping to keep Darren Williams and bring Dwight Howard in. If they showed up with that pair in Brooklyn, as we discussed, they would rival the Knicks immediately. But that's not going to happen. In fact, Darren Williams announced that he is not going to agree to stay through next season with the Nets. In fact, there's rumors already, Darren Williams, a top point guard in the NBA, top three, I would say, maybe top one, but certainly top three. He's from Dallas. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He can go to Dallas. Jason Kidd, I think, would be happy to play 12, 15 minutes behind Darren Williams, because Kidd, I think, is 38, maybe 39. It's not looking good for the New Jersey, soon-to-be Brooklyn Nets. But a few other trades in the NBA before we get to a couple of games. The Lakers and the Cavs made a trade. The Lakers got younger and faster at point guard. They get Ramon Sessions from the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers get Luke Walton, Jason Capono, and the Lakers' first-round pick. The Lakers traded Derek Fisher and his five titles and his leadership ability to the Rockets for a draft pick and plus a draft pick to the Rockets for Jordan Hill. Kind of sad to see Derek Fisher go. Of course, he was, the heady point guard who really couldn't run with the point guards of today. So he goes to the Rockets. And the Lakers are better at the point, no doubt, with Ramon Sessions. Is that enough to get them over the hump? We'll have to wait and see. Steven Jackson was on Golden State for like 2 days. He is traded to San Antonio for Richard Jefferson. And, you can see what Golden State's doing. They're trying to build a team there. They get Bogut, a big man who won't be ready until maybe the end of the year, maybe next year. They got some nice players. Monte Ellis maybe didn't fit in with Mark Jackson. Monte Ellis, the shoot-first guard, of course. But I think an experienced veteran like Jefferson can help Golden State. And I know Bogut, when he's healthy, will help Golden State. And then with David Lee, that'll be a very nice front line. A three-way trade. The Clippers get shooting guard Nick Young. He'll step in and start for them right away. Washington gets a second-round pick and Nene from the Nuggets and Brian Cook. And the Nuggets get JaVale McGee and Ronnie Turiaf. Finally, Nate McMillan was fired yesterday. Clearly, Portland's decided to clean house. You probably know what happened. D'Antoni left. Portland was in New York that night. I certainly questioned the timing of D'Antoni's move. Why would he leave on the day where there was like the only game the Knicks were sure to win compared to the prior five or six? But they beat Portland by 42. Looked like the team quit on Nate McMillan. Nate McMillan gets fired as the Portland coach. Apparently, it's the first time in the history of the NBA that a coach coaching his last game was playing a coach coaching his first game for the Knicks. So D'Antoni's gone. Nate McMillan is gone. Portland cleaning house now. They move Gerald Wallace to the Nets. They trade Camby to the Houston Rockets. And they've actually waived Greg Odom. If you saw Greg Odom in college at Ohio State, you thought he was going to be a monster player in the NBA. He was the number one pick in the 2007 draft, but has just not been able to stay healthy. He's had 3 microfracture surgeries. You know, it's just kind of sad, actually, because he was a great college player. But Portland, obviously going to rebuild now, moving people out of their roster, waiving Greg Odom. So he's gone. The coach is gone. A bunch of the players are gone. And Portland, which had a pretty good young, you know, hurt by that Brandon Roy retirement. Brandon Roy had to retire because of arthritic knees at an all-too-young age. Now Portland is just a mess. A few games to talk about quickly in the NBA. Oklahoma goes to Denver to play the Nuggets. The Thunder 103, the Nuggets 90. Durant with 24 points, 8 for 15 from the field, 8 rebounds. Westbrook, 23 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Harden, the best sixth man in the league, 18 points off the bench. For Denver, Gallinari has 17. Andre Miller off the bench leads the team in scoring with 17. I'm sorry, Gallinari had 15. Thunder 103, Nuggets 90. Thunder moved to 33-10. Nuggets dropped to 24-20. A few other games to talk about quickly. Minnesota at New Orleans. Of course, Ricky Rubio out for the season with that torn ACL. If you watch this game, a fascinating game. Tie game in regulation. They run up. Denver has the ball at half court. They run a play where Paul Millsap gets a pick, goes to the basket uncontested, gets a perfect lob pass. All he has to do is lay it in to win the game, and with 7/10 of a second, he lays it in. It rolls around the rim and comes out. But in overtime, the Jazz get the win anyway. Jazz 111, Minnesota 105. Gordon Hayward led the team with 26 points. Kevin Love, what can you say, 25 points, 16 rebounds. The Jazz moved to 21-22. The Timberwolves dropped to .500. A few other games to talk about briefly. The Suns, without Steve Nash, go to Los Angeles and beat the Clippers. Clippers going the wrong way. No Nash for the Suns. Shannon Brown, the former Laker, with 21. Blake Griffin, 12 for 18 from the field, 25 points for the Clippers. But if they're losing to the Suns at home, obviously a bad sign. Suns 21-22. Clippers dropped to 24-18. The Clippers have a players-only meeting after the game. But I actually thought they could be title contenders this year. They might need Paul Griffin and another guy and another season before they're really ready for prime time. A couple of other games quickly. Mavericks beat the Bobcats 101-96. Dirk Nowitzki with 27 points for the Mavericks. The Wizards beat the Hornets 99-89. John Wall, 26 points, 12 assists. Chris Kaman with 20 for the Hornets. And that's all your action yesterday in the NBA, only 5 games. But again, most of the action taking place off the court. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Now we're going to turn to an overview of the NHL season with the playoffs fast approaching. We're going to bring in Brian Monzo. Of course, you probably know Brian's work if you're in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area like I am. He works for NHL Network. He writes a hockey blog for WFAN.com. He's also a producer extraordinaire at WFAN. Brian Monzo, welcome to the Steve Callis Show. Hello, Brian, are you there?
Hey, Steve, I can hear you, but you're really low. Can't really hear you that well.
Oh, okay, I'll just try and speak up then. Let's get right to it, Brian. We want to do an overview of the NHL, but let's go right to the big game yesterday. Penguins 5, Rangers 2, the return of Sidney Crosby. Give me your thoughts on the Penguins and the Rangers, two of the biggest contenders, of course, in the Eastern Conference.
Well, I could barely hear you, but I know you asked about the Penguins and Rangers game, so let me give some analysis there. As someone who covers the Rangers and watches the Rangers, I was not surprised to see them come out yesterday and lose that game, just based on the fact that there was no Henrik, no Callahan, no Delzato, and Crosby return. It was just one of them things that you chalk it up. It's 2 points, just a little 4-point lead against the Penguins right now in the division and in the conference for that matter. I thought they came out and they played okay. They created some opportunities, but one of the negative things right now with the Rangers is the fact that they have their one top line that's gelled really well the last three games, Carl Hagelin, Brad Richards, and Marion Gabbert. But there's not really any secondary scoring at this point. I mean, if you add Ryan Callahan to the mix, I'm sure it'd be a little easier. But you're not getting anything from your second, third, and fourth lines. You don't expect much from your fourth line to begin with. But you need to get a little production from a second line, and you're not getting that. Derek Stepan's been a little cold. He's been cold all season. Anisimov is touch and go. So, the Ring was not shocked to see the Rangers come out and lose. Like, does that mean they're going to come out tomorrow night and lose? Absolutely not, because I think you're going to get. I think there's a good chance Callahan plays. There's a good chance Delzato plays, and Henrik's probably going to play. So that'll certainly help them out, and then I expect them to bounce back.
And how do you compare the Penguins and the Rangers right now? The Penguins with Crosby, without Crosby, versus the Rangers. Can you compare the two teams? I'm sorry. I guess we lost Brian Monzo. My mistake. Maybe we can get him back on the line. He had trouble hearing me. But certainly this was the big game yesterday. The Penguins, I thought, without Sidney Crosby, were not a Stanley Cup team. Evgeny Malkin might be the MVP of the league. That's how good he is. With Sidney Crosby, if he's healthy, and he played well yesterday, he got a couple of assists. He's obviously a great player when healthy. I think this will move Pittsburgh ahead of the Rangers. Obviously, the Rangers, a top team in the East, they lead the East still. But it's really, with the Penguins coming up, as well as they've played, 26-13 without. Brian, can you hear me?
A little better, yeah. Can you hear you?
Okay. I was just trying, I'd rather you do it. Compare Pittsburgh with Crosby, without Crosby, Stanley Cup possibilities, and as a team versus the Rangers going down the road, then we'll move to the rest of the East.
Well, that's, you know, I saw somebody tweet this morning something that I thought was very intriguing. You know, it doesn't matter what the standings are right now. If somebody at this point of the season has won 10 games in a row, they're the team to beat. And it's hard to really argue at that point moving forward. The Penguins are a very well-coached team. They have a nice, balanced offense. If it's not Crosby, it's Malkin. If it's not Malkin, it's Neal. If it's not Neal, it's Staal. If it's not Staal, it's Kunitz. You know, and then you look at the back line. You got guys like Letang, who has some offensive ability. You got, you know, a nice, solid defensive in Brooks Orpik. They're a very well-built team, and they have a goalie who I love to hate on. But the fact of the matter is he's won a Stanley Cup, and he makes some clutch saves. And their coaching is by far in the top three in the league. Looking at the Rangers, as I mentioned, they have their one top line. They have some good young defensemen. Some struggles right now with guys like Staal and Girardi and McDonough, which we haven't seen all year. But I think the Rangers are built just as well. I think they're just as well coached. And you've seen what the Rangers can do when they're playing at full speed. And that's the reason why they are 25 games over 500 at this point.
I want to talk to you about one other team in the East. When the Flyers got Ilya Bryzgalov, I thought that was an acquisition that catapulted them into Stanley Cup contention. Obviously, he's been up and down this year. Lately, as you know, way up, three shutouts in a row, beat the Islanders last night 3-2. Where do you see the Flyers in the whole Eastern Conference mix?
Well, I'd be lying to you if I said I saw Bryzgalov play the tone out in Phoenix. I mean, I saw him play a little bit, so I wasn't, I mean, I obviously knew he had some abilities, won, you know, 30-plus games and, you know, led that team that really was, you know, not all that good in the playoffs for a few years. So I knew that there was definitely a good mix of talent within Bryzgalov. That's a completely different picture, though, when you come to a team like Philadelphia. Like, that was one of the ones saying that I thought they gave a guy way too much money, and I still think they have, just based on reputation. But there's no arguing with how he's been playing lately. A guy that, you know, he's kind of wacky, he kind of says some weird things, but, you know, if you're talented, you're talented. He definitely struggled early in the year. You know, he had some up and down time, but I mean, you're talking about a guy who's had three shutouts in four games. He only gave up two last night, and he's really, you know, I think when the Flyers have not had goaltending forever, I think if you can add goaltending to that team, their confidence will shoot through the roof. And if he's prepared to make the strongest point of his season late in the season into the playoffs, I don't think any Flyers fan or Flyers management is going to argue with that. So I can definitely see them definitely go into, you know, the conference finals or even the finals just based on all-around talent.
Okay, one other team in the East. I want to do the West as well, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the New Jersey Devils at the beginning of the year. I thought Brodeur wasn't Brodeur. He was hurt for a while, but now the Devils are playing like the Devils. They have 87 points. They're ranked sixth right now in the playoff race. Where do you see, if at all, can the Devils and Brodeur make one last run as the Devils with Marty Brodeur in goal?
I don't see it. It's not a personal thing. It's no secret that I'm not the biggest Devil guy. I just right. don't think Brodeur can make the amount of big saves anymore. He's still going to go down as the greatest goalie of all time, without a doubt, in my opinion. I just don't think at his age, and I've seen his skill level sadly decrease. And by sadly, I'm being facetious. Looking at the Devils team, what I do like about them, and this goes for every team, is that their best players are being their best players when it matters. Kovalchuk is playing at a ridiculous level. Eliash has been good all year. Parise is really starting to heat up. You're seeing, and Clarkson has got 27 goals, a guy that scored 12 last year. So you're seeing them play their best hockey when it matters, and that's really what you want to see out of a team at this point in the season. I could see them definitely winning a round in the playoffs, but I don't see them going too deep.
Okay, let's move to the West now. I've been a St. Louis Blues fan. I'm a New York Ranger guy from New York, but I love the fact that those guys, and you know them, Dave Checketts and John Davidson, they went out there a number of years ago, left the Garden, went out there. They've really turned this franchise around now. St. Louis now with 98 points has not only leads the West, but has surpassed the Rangers for the most points. What's your sense of the St. Louis Blues, and can they make a run to the Stanley Cup?
Well, they don't give up a lot of goals, but they also don't score a lot of goals. So that's going to be their one really tough challenge moving forward, is can they get consistent goal scoring. If you look at what they've done the last couple of years, all the hockey prospect magazines and futures magazines always rated the Blues with the best prospect system, best farm system, if you call it that, in hockey, in all of hockey. And now you're seeing it really pay some dividends. Guys like Dave Backus and just all their depths of defense, and they just signed Jaden Schwartz, their 2010 first-round draft pick to play. So they really have a great balance of young players. Throw in guys like Jason Arnott and Langer Bruno, have been both been banged up, but definitely had some presence in the locker room. You look at a team that certainly can make a hell of a run, and they got an outstanding coach in Ken Hitchcock, who in my opinion is going to win Coach of the Year, despite what any other team does, because he came in, team was under 500, and he's lost a game since he's coached. So he's done an outstanding job, and kudos to JD, because he's done he's a great hockey mind, and him and Doug Armstrong really turned that team into a premier team. And even looking at their goaltending, I wasn't the biggest Yaroslav Halak guy, and Brian Elliott, was falling off the face of the earth last year, and they don't give up gold anymore. They've really done a good job making a case to definitely go to the Cup final.
So does that mean you kind of like Vancouver in the West? Vancouver was, I guess, the choice early in the year. Roberto Luongo, to me, you never know which Luongo is going to show up. That would be a problem for me in the playoffs, but where do you think Vancouver stands in the West?
I'm not a Vancouver guy. Obviously, they have great regular seasons, and Sedin, Twins are great, and Kessler's a great captain. But I haven't seen Luongo do it enough in the big moments. I know he's gotten, he's won a gold medal, and he's gotten to the Cup final, but it's two different things. And I haven't seen him play a big game in the playoffs consistently. I know they have a great team, and I know, they'll make a run. They always do. The team in the West, though, if you're asking me, the team I like in the West, you always have to like Detroit, but, they have some injuries. Lidstrom, Jimmy Howard's been banged up. Datsuk's been hurt. So there's some question marks around their team. If you're asking me to pick a wild card team, I love the Nashville Predators right now. I love their goaltending. I love that they did the trade deadline, bringing in guys like Gill and Gaustad and Kuznetsov, and they already had a pretty good team like Fisher and Shea Weber and Ryan Suter, and I think they're really built as a complete team, and they've struggled in the playoffs the last couple of years. They kind of choked in the playoffs, if you will, but I think they finally have put together a unit that is a complete team. They're physical. They don't give up a ton of goals. They bang bodies. They can score some goals on the blue line. I think you're looking at a team that definitely can make a run in the playoffs.
We have about 2 minutes left with Brian Monzo of WFAN and the NHL Network. Just let me ask you about a couple of other teams in the West. I think Detroit's problem personally is, as you know, they're unbelievable at home, but certainly they're like the one of the top five teams. They're the only team under 500 in the West, 16-20, and one overtime loss. So tell me your thoughts on Dallas leading the Pacific, and of course the Chicago Blackhawks, that to me always have that talent where they can make a run. Where do you see Dallas, and where do you see the Chicago Blackhawks?
The Blackhawks is a team, I mean, they just won a couple of years ago. We know how good Patrick Kane and Tays are, and Tays has been banged up, but I don't think he's a solid defenseman. Just won the award a couple of years ago. I just blanked in Calder. That's the word. Anyway, but their goaltending, Norris Trophy, by the way, it's just slipped my mind here. I'm sitting in my kids' room. No goaltending, though. Crawford just not going to get it done. I've not seen them put together a consistent streak of goaltending this year that I can confidently pick them to make a run. They have a ton of offense, a solid defense, great coach. The goaltending is something that I'm really going to question moving forward. As far as Dallas goes, I thought about a team that's flown under the radar. I mean, you got guys like Jamie Benn and Michael Ryder, and just Steve Ott, the agitator, and their goalies, Carey Letton and Bachman. A lot of players that a lot of casual fans may not even have heard of. And they've done a great job to really, you know, win, find where their strengths are, and pull into a spot where they, I mean, they could be the third seed in the West, which is unbelievable. I love what that team is doing. I like the fact that they're flying under the radar. It's kind of a sad story because if you look around the league, I mean, they, you know, I hate to say something like this, but they are not drawing any fans. And you got to hope that a playoff run or a push like that will certainly start putting some fans in seats because they're a fun team. They work hard. They definitely deserve the fandom down in Dallas.
One final question for Brian Monzo of the NHL Network and WFAN. Brian, give me a lot of talk in New York about whether Lundqvist can win the Hart Trophy as the MVP. Is it Evgeny Malkin? Do you have any thoughts? Are there other candidates I've left out? Lundqvist, Malkin, somebody else for the MVP of the National Hockey League this year?
Well, I think at this point it's safe to say it's going to be Malkin. He's just, you know, without Crosby in the lineup, really propelled that team to where they are right now. Lundqvist, you know, is having a great season, but it's safe to say that he's slipped a little bit the last 2 or 3 weeks. He's given up 3 or more goals, I believe, in, you know, 4 consecutive games. He's just, you know, every player goes through a slump. I mean, it's not a knockout. I mean, he's still most likely going to win the Vezina Trophy. He's got a goals against, still under 2. You know, he's going to surpass 35, 36, 37 wins if all things go right. So I just don't see him winning the Hart Trophy. The name is going to be interesting. Now, I still think it's going to be Evgeny Malkin, but I think if you look in New Jersey, what Ilya Kovalchuk is doing is really worth at least a hat tip to see what he could possibly do, because I think he may be the guy challenging Malkin for the Hart.
Brian Monzo, can't thank you enough for a few minutes. We'll have you back on when the playoffs start. Greatly appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for coming on the Steve Callis Show.
You got it, Steve. Take care.
All right. That was Brian Monzo of the NHL Network and WFAN. Writes a hockey blog at WFAN.com that I highly recommend. Want to switch now briefly. Just one baseball note I wanted to tell you about. I know we don't do a lot of exhibition baseball, but sometimes you see some things that are just unbelievable. Justin Verlander, of course, the reigning MVP and the reigning Cy Young Award winner in the American League, pitched 3 2/3 innings against the Orioles yesterday, 11 outs. He had 8 strikeouts. So Verlander already in fine form for the Tigers. A lot of people think the Tigers are the team to beat in the American League this year, but Verlander showing he hasn't missed a beat from last year's historic season of winning both the MVP and the Cy Young. Want to give you now the TV stuff today. Obviously, a lot of television today. And I'll give you the games via the networks that they'll be on. NCAA tournament just underway. And that would be on CBS, the 4 games today on CBS. Cincinnati against Texas. Florida State, St. Bonaventure's. Duke plays Lehigh. And then the last game tonight, Notre Dame at Xavier, on True TV, starting 12:40 Eastern, San Diego State, NC State, followed by Georgetown, Belmont. A lot of people giving Belmont a chance to beat Georgetown. St. Mary's against Purdue, and then the final game tonight at 9:55 Eastern, Kansas against Detroit. 1:40 p.m. Eastern, starting on TBS, Creighton against Alabama, followed by North Carolina and Vermont, followed by Memphis and St. Louis, followed by at 9:20 Eastern, number 1 Michigan State against number 16 LIU. Again, LIU in Brooklyn. At least talk in the New York area that they can somehow beat Michigan State. I don't buy it. I don't buy the 16s can beat a 1. But, hey, it's the old you never know, and maybe it will happen someday. The final quartet of games gets underway at 2:10 Eastern on TNT. That would be Florida against Virginia, followed by Missouri and Norfolk State, followed by, at 7:20 Eastern, Michigan and Ohio U. And the final game of the night, starting at 9:50 Eastern on TNT, Temple against South Florida. Again, 16 NCAA tournament games today. Tonight, NBA stuff, NBA basketball, the Nets at the Magic, 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG. Interesting, of course, because Dwight Howard's staying, and Darren Williams is probably leaving. This was a blow of monumental proportions to the Nets. A lot of people in the New York area really thought the Nets were going to get Dwight Howard. Obviously, it didn't work out. Also on ESPN tonight, 7 Eastern, Miami goes up to Philly to play the 76ers. 7:30 Eastern, if you get MSG, the Knicks saga continues. New coach Mike Woodson. Pacers come in to play the Knicks at the Garden, first half of a back-to-back. Knicks go to Indiana, obviously, tomorrow. That's 7:30 Eastern on MSG. And finally, the second half of the ESPN doubleheader tonight, San Antonio goes up to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder. That's 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Exhibition baseball, if you get the YES Network, 1 o'clock, the Nationals play the Yankees. If you get the SNY Network, the Mets Network, that's the Tigers at the Mets. Both of those games, 1 o'clock Eastern. This is the Steve Callis Show. My thanks to Brian Monzo. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.